Jesus. Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know a song that says Jesus is the center of my joy? How about we sing that song before we sit down this morning? Okay, I think we'll take the key up a little bit. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. Tell the Lord one more time, Jesus. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment. Thank you this morning because you're the center, you're the hub of our joy. All things in our lives revolve around you, and we thank you for the blessing of knowing you. We thank you this morning for the opportunity to be in church. We pray for the presence and the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, that your word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Hope for all I do, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You're the heart of my contentment. You're the hope for all I do. Oh Jesus, you're the center of my joy. That's a good song, isn't it? It's a very powerful song. And you know, sometimes the way to move forward in the Lord is to make positive confessions. Amen. It is, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit of it. Those who learn how to use their tongue will benefit greatly from their tongue beyond eating. Amen. That your confessions and the things you say over your life, over your marriage. Wow, I see a newlywed, fresh from the moon couple here today. Wow, Leslie, it's good to see you and your wife. Beautiful. Amen. Wow. I'll tell you who they are after the service. Amen. God has been blessing us with couples lately. One a week. Hallelujah. Right. So I'm saying that your confessions are very important. Amen. Yeah. It is important to say positive things about your life, about your relationship with God, about your health, do you understand? About your marriage, about your children, you know. The Bible says, if you speak life, you will have it. On the other hand, if you speak death and you speak negative things all the time and make negative confessions all the time, in time you're going to see that your life begins to take that shape because you're making these confessions over your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says anybody who says anything and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that what he's saying will come to pass, will have what he's saying. Do you see what I'm saying? It says anybody who says, let me show you that verse. It's a bonus verse for this morning. Amen. So Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, let's read from verse 23. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, and then verse 24. Hallelujah. Are you ready? For verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Amen. Now, look at verse 23 again. It says that if you say to this mountain, whosoever, that means anybody, anybody. Do you see? It means you don't even have to be an anointed person. Do you see? To say things that come to pass. Says anybody whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Do you see? Now it's a pity that some of the negative things we say them really believing them. Do you see? In fact, we have a tendency to believe more the negative things than the positive things. Because often the negative things are based on reality. They are based on what we see and feel. And the positive things are based on what we desire and what we wish for. Do you understand? So in a sense, it feels like the negative things are closer to us. They are more tangible. You can almost touch them compared to the positive things that we see and that we desire and that we want in our lives. And so you find that most of us are quicker to make negative confessions. We're quicker to say things are not working well. We're quicker to say we are very poor. We say more quickly that we are sick, that things will not work out, that my marriage is failing, that this is not as it should be. I am not a happy person. I am depressed. I am going to die young. All kinds of things that we say and like to say to ourselves. Do you understand? Well, The bad news is that If you don't doubt in your heart what you are saying, but you believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, the Bible says you shall have whatsoever you said. Can you see that? It says you shall have whatsoever you said. So, if that is the case, then can you see that we need to learn to speak positive things about our lives, about our church, about our marriages, about our finances, concerning our health, concerning our future. I mean, what use is it for you to confess that you are poor? And as for you, you are going to be poor. You don't have anything. You never have anything. You will never have anything because your mother didn't have anything. Your grandmother didn't have anything. Your cousins don't have anything. And you are not surprised. See, many people make a lot of negative confessions. And when those things come to pass, they start to tell everybody, you see, I told you. You see, they take pride in being right. But they don't understand that it's the confessions rather that created the rightness. And that it wasn't because you were right that you spoke. Do you get the difference? It wasn't because you were right that you spoke, but that it is because you spoke that it turned out to be so. Do you see? So learn to speak positive things. Don't go by your feelings. Hallelujah. Don't go by your feelings. I was reading a verse the other day which said, while we look not at the things which are seen. It says we should not look at the things which are seen, because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now you just imagine, how could you look at something that could not be seen? The Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, we should look rather at things which cannot be seen. So what you are looking for, or what you are expecting and what you desire, which you can't see, if it did not exist in a certain realm, God would not be asking you to look at it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If God is saying look at it, then God, it means the thing exists and God wants you to use the eye of faith to see it. Hallelujah. And often your confession is what makes your faith real. It causes you to connect to things that otherwise are abstract and otherwise seem and feel very distant from you. You start to say it, you start to say it, and you start to say it, and soon you begin to believe it. And as you believe, you are in a good place. Anything you believe, you are in a good place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you believe that it is well with you, you are in a good place, because then your next stop is, you shall have those things which you have said. Amen. When you are on the train of life and the train stops, and the stop says, this stop is called, you believe in your heart and you don't doubt it. The next stop is, you shall have what you said. How many can have some faith this morning? Hallelujah. So I don't know what you're going through in your life, but it's not shocking to be going through anything. Hallelujah. What you need to do is to change your confession. Hallelujah. Let your confession match up with your desires. Do not say one thing and want another thing. Do you see what I'm saying? Do not want or desire one thing in your heart and say something else. But line up what you say and what you want. Let them be the same thing. And you will be surprised that because you believe in your heart, because you believe, he's saying a mountain, because a mountain is as big as it gets and it's as difficult as it gets. So he's saying that even the toughest of challenges can be removed by your confession. Hallelujah. Instead of acknowledging them and recognizing them and celebrating them, because anything you celebrate and recognize and feed, the thing likes to stay around. Even if you saw a stray dog and you started to feed it, you'll be surprised that it will come to you very often. Do you understand? So when you have problems that you are constantly talking about and celebrating, I mean, you hear some people talk and it's like they are really happy to have the problem. Do you understand? And if you continue to celebrate your problem, celebrate your sickness, celebrate your lack of whatever it is, and continue to talk about it and continue to be excited about it and every time make noise about it, you will find that like that stray dog, that situation will keep visiting you because it's very welcome around you. Do you understand? But when we start to make positive confessions, we begin to push these things away from us. Hallelujah. And anything you keep driving away will soon recognize you as not a safe place to go to. Hallelujah. Yeah. You see, where I come from in Ghana, sometimes people can be very unfriendly to dogs. And, you know, you see a dog passing, it's not yours. You don't know where it's going. You just, heps. Yeah. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know its name. It's just taking a little stroll. And then you see it. And then some people just, hey, you know. And so when such dogs also see people coming, you see them going away. You know, because they are used to being driven away by everyone. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning to speak faith and to speak positive things. Hallelujah. Regardless of what is happening in your life, in your pocket, in your bank account, on your job, speak positive things. Regardless of what the symptoms are in your body, how you may feel, say what you want, not what you feel. Hallelujah. There is no reward for saying what you feel. Do you understand? God has not promised us anything for saying what we feel. Do you see? But God has promised that if we will confess and say what we believe in our hearts, we shall have whatsoever. Did you see? He says, you shall have, bring back the verse 23. He says, you shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. I'm encouraged by that this morning. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. All right. So now back to my message. Today I'm going to try to continue and hopefully finish what I've been sharing with you for a while. Amen. We've been talking about five things that spoil churches. Amen. And we talked about the first one, which is an independent spirit. And the second one was offenses, isn't it? People getting offended in the church. Offended by one another. Offended by family members, offended by the pastor, offended by the church members, offended by your small group leader, etc. Hallelujah. And last week in particular, we talked about Naaman, and we saw how he nearly missed his blessing because he was offended by the man of God. Amen. And that's what the drama team was showing us this morning. Hallelujah. That it's important for you to have a heart that that is not easily offended in the church. Amen. Amen. And even if we offend you, you should forgive us. Can I have an amen? Amen? You should forgive us. You see, it is unreasonable to require perfection of people. Amen. It is unreasonable to require that no one will ever offend you. That is like asking the weather never to rain. Do you understand? Why don't you rather buy an umbrella? What do you think? Yeah. Why don't you rather just buy an umbrella? What do umbrellas cost? $6.99 or $10. Or free because someone left it. Do you understand? So why don't you rather get yourself something that covers you in the rain instead of getting the weather to promise that I will never rain anytime you are out. Hallelujah. So it is important. Nobody can promise you never to offend you. Hallelujah. Even the most well-meaning people offend. You understand? Like spouses. You know, someone you love or who loves you. You know, sometimes when you get married to someone, it is like you have gone to acquire your own personal offending machine or offense dispenser, you know, offensometer. Yeah, it's like you've gone to get this machine. You see how these vending machines, you just put a coin, you know, and when you put in something small and it spits out something very heavy and big, much more than what you even put in. Hallelujah. That is how it is. It's like you've gone to get this offense dispenser and you've brought it to your house and it spits out offense at will. Whenever it feels like it. Hallelujah. So you need to learn to cover yourself. Amen. And protect yourself with forgiveness. Forgiveness is like having, you know, a duster, something that can rub the board. Do you understand? Where I went to school, where they used to write with chalk on the board. Do you get it? And every day they would write something. Now, the only reason why we could write more things every day was because yesterday's stuff was always erased. Do you understand? Now, as long as you keep yesterday's stuff on the board, soon there will be nowhere to write anything. Do you understand? And many relationships terminate at that point where there's no more space. There's nothing else. And it's not that something unusual is happening. It's just that all the stuff that happened has been kept. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything you ever did or everything that ever happened to them has been saved. Do you understand? So very soon, you can't save anything. You can't have, and I'm talking about my computer now. Now, it gets to a point where it's not very useful. You can't use it to do any more things because everything you did before has been saved. Now, the heart is like a hard drive. It's full. Unless we delete some things, we can't continue to use this computer. We can't continue to use it for anything. Do you understand? So then you have to go into the archives. Then you pull up some files. And you start to think, this one happened in 1994. Delete. This one happened at the beginning of this year. January. Delete. Then you get to those files that are really big. You get it, yeah. But if you can just get rid of this one thing, if you can get rid of it, you'll have so much space to accommodate so much more stupidity and so much more offenses and foolishness that are bound to come your way anyway because you are married to a fallen human being. Is it not the case? Hallelujah. So learn how to forgive. Amen. It is interesting that the verse we're reading this morning actually links itself to forgiveness. In the next verse, verse 24, says that, I say to you, what things soever ye desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. You know, God wants us to believe. People of faith, we must believe. Hallelujah. But he says, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So it means there is a time between when you believe that you will have it and when you actually see it in your hand. Isn't it? And actually, it is believing that you have it that causes the thing to appear in your hand. Isn't it? Then he says, and when you start praying this prayer that you believe. Do you see? If you have anything against any, do you see? Forgive. That your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. That is to say that, or it appears what he's trying to say is, the only thing that will make this not work is your inability to forgive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like if I say to you, if you feel at any point you feel like going home, please get up and leave quietly and go to your car. Do you see? Then I add that, but when you're going, remember to bring the car keys. Do you see? Because without the car keys, you really aren't going anywhere. So without the car keys that you're, you know, without bringing your car keys with you, that move, the bigger move of walking to your car will yield nothing. Because there's this one small thing that will make that whole move make sense. Do you see? So you find people believing the top part, but we don't believe the second part. But it's all in one package. It says, and when you stand to pray that prayer, that is whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. and you shall have them. When you stand to pray this prayer, if you have aught against any, is it not interesting how God has just used or described it in very highly generic terms? Ought against any. Do you see? Ought against any. That means anything against anyone. Hallelujah. Because some people like to grade the things and say that, you know, you see, it would be a different thing if it was this. But this, you see, but he's saying that if you have aught against any, forgive, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. Hallelujah. So let's learn to forgive one another. Let's learn to forgive one another. One of the things that helps you to forgive is to remember that you yourself are also very offensive. Amen. That's one of the things that will help you to forgive, is to remember that you also are very offensive, that you also offend people. Is there anybody here who has never offended anyone? Raise up your hand if you're here this morning. There is nobody here, or they didn't come to church. Okay. Look who is saying he's never offended anyone. Jason, he's never offended anyone. And I have the microphone. He's raising his hands in the wrong place. Hallelujah. Amen. But all of us do offend. Hallelujah. And God is telling us this morning that we must learn to practice the art of forgiveness. Otherwise, we will throw things away that are still, or that could still be very useful. Do you understand? You would throw your computer away because it doesn't work anymore, when all you had to do was just to delete stuff. Do you see? And that's what people do. They throw away marriages. They throw away friends, best friends. They throw away roommates. They throw away colleagues. They discard relationships that, you know, could have been useful. It's like throwing away your clothes because they were dirty. But most clothes can be you can wash it. A lot of clothes will serve you a long, long time if you learn to take the dirt out of them. Hallelujah. If you were to learn to take the dirt out of your clothes, many of your clothes would serve you a long, long time. But because you don't take the dirt out of them, at a point they are no use. You can't wear them anymore. And then you throw them away. I dare say to you this morning, some of the relationships you've thrown away were not as bad as you thought. They just needed a wash. They just needed to be cleaned up. Something got between you that needed to be taken away with forgiveness. It needed to be removed with forgiveness. But because forgiveness would not work, at a point, the hard drive is full. You can't save anything anymore. There's no love anymore. There's nothing anymore. It's just stuff. And that does not work well for any relationship. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I pray that we will learn how to forgive this morning and let the offenses go, so you can have a pure heart. So you can breathe again. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be that as for you, every time when you think about people, even your face is changing. Do you understand? You don't realize that continuously having, you know, thoughts that stir up ill will and bad feelings in you is gradually spoiling your face. You try it. When you go home this morning or this afternoon, start to think about some bad thoughts and stand in front of the mirror. You see how you get it. Yeah. You see that your thoughts are shaping up your looks. Do you see? And if you stretch your skin constantly in a certain direction, don't be surprised if your skin, you know, assumes that position. Amen. All right. So we thank God. Amen. Now, the next thing quickly is a critical spirit. A critical spirit. By that, I mean someone who criticizes things and people all the time. Hallelujah. Someone who finds something wrong with everything. Amen. Who only has eyes that see what is wrong. They never see what is right. Do you see? If something was to be set in front of you, you would only pick out what is wrong with it. Do you see? Without thinking about what is right with it. What is good about it doesn't seem to register with you at all. You know, and you seem to be naturally disposed to look for what is wrong with it. Hallelujah. Such that even things that are beneficial to you or things that could be a great blessing to you don't seem to be a blessing to you because you're always looking for what is wrong with it. Hallelujah. Let's take our church. If we were to, you know, put on an eye of criticism and start to find what is wrong with our church, we're going to find so many things. So many things wrong with everything, including you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. If we were to start to pick out what is wrong with the hall? What is wrong with the music? What is wrong with the choir? What is wrong with the chairs? What is wrong with this one? What is wrong with the microphone? What is wrong with the people at the back over there? Look at them like some United Nations experts. What is wrong with these people? Hallelujah. So you tend to be focused on what is wrong. Hallelujah. And with time, you start to pick the whole thing apart until you can't see anything good in it. Hallelujah. Now, we may not be a perfect church. In fact, we are not a perfect church at all. Hallelujah. But we are working on it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are working on it. We are coming along. We are developing. We are still building. We are still working. We shouldn't judge things when they are just a work in progress. Do you understand? You don't enter someone's kitchen and they just started cooking. They barely put in, they put oil, they put oil in the pan. Nothing else has come. You started to taste the food already. Do you see? So as you taste the oil, you don't get anything out of it. Do you understand? That is how it is when we judge someone who is just a work in progress. Amen. You are tasting the food before it's ready. And you are drawing a conclusion about the food when it's way premature. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We need to be careful not to be critical. You see, one of the descriptions of the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Do you understand? An accuser of the brethren is someone who finds fault with the brethren. Someone who's always looking out for what is wrong with the brethren. Hallelujah. And so when you start to develop a critical spirit, you are beginning to put on that jacket. You're beginning to be used by the devil to destroy what the Lord is doing in this place. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Now let me read to you a story in 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. There is a gentleman over here called Absalom. And I want to read a little bit about Absalom with you before we close. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed this morning? Are you learning anything? Okay, so Absalom, 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses, and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And so, it says, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom would say to him, see, you know, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. And moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come to me, and I would do him justice. And it was so, when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And verse 6 says, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Hallelujah. But notice this Absalom, you know, had a peculiar habit of causing people to see, you know, he says, he would say to them, see, you know, see, look at it. You have a good case. Your matters are right, you know. And then it says, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee, you know. Absalom was someone who devoted himself to revealing and finding faults with his father's system. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That when he would find something wrong, instead of helping it, he rather turned it and used it against his father David. Hallelujah. That he would see that there is a shortfall somewhere. He would see that there is a lapse somewhere. He would see that something is not being done as well as it could have been done. Something is not being done maybe for the children, or something is not being done when people are coming to church. Maybe there's no one out there to meet them, to greet them, you know. Maybe there's no one out there to show people where to park their cars, because there are some places where there is someone who actually shows you where to park your car. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. When we'll have a church where we'll have people who will show you where to put your car. Hallelujah. Now, Absalom was just looking around and studying the system. And when he would see something that was not working quite as well as it could work, then he would rather turn it against the church. Do you understand? So in the process, he turned the hearts of a lot of people away from the church towards himself. Do you understand? Now, remember, I was telling you, this is what happens, and this is what causes sometimes churches to break up, and it causes sometimes one person will take a whole group of them away, and they leave the pastor standing there. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Because somebody has sort of turned the hearts of the church members away from the pastor. The hearts of the church members belongs to the pastor. Amen. Don't you think so? Yeah. The hearts of the church members and their affection must go to their pastor and their leader. But you have an individual who rises up and starts to say, see, see, see. You know, something you can't even see, they are showing to you. Say, see. Did you notice how the pastor was preaching this morning, and he was preaching mostly around the right side of the room? You know, that see, see, see. Did you notice it was because he hadn't seen Yehuda in a while, and as he saw Yehuda sitting there, then he started to preach in that direction. So suddenly, Yehuda starts to think, and she's, it's true. You see, something she didn't see before, something that was not a problem for her before, suddenly begins to become a problem because someone has become very critical, and the person has opened her eyes to see something that otherwise was not a problem for her. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes you see, you go to places, you hear people. Do you notice how all the pastors are from one country? All the pastors are from Ghana. Well, I'm not trying to say anything. It's just an observation I made, and I'm just you know, throwing it out there. I mean, I don't mean to do or say anything bad. Did you notice how all the choir, did you notice how all the people in the choir are ladies? You know, I told you in this church, they are anti-men. You watch quietly, you will see. It is not our fault and it is not intentional that all the people in the choir are ladies. It is who came. Hallelujah. It is who decided to join the choir. That is how come we have only ladies in our choir. And I'm looking forward to it and trusting the Lord that one day we're going to have some powerful guys in the choir. What do you think? If you believe it with me, yeah, say I believe. Yeah. Hallelujah. All kinds of things that people use against the church. Hallelujah. And they begin to find fault. They begin to find fault with everything. But remember, when all you can see is just faults and faults and faults, remember that you are actually putting on the jacket of the accuser of the brethren. Let me read the verse about the accuser of the brethren to you from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Have you found Revelation chapter 12? And verse 10. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Wow! It says, now is come salvation and strength. And notice that it's being proclaimed with a loud voice. It says, a loud voice, a very loud voice from heaven came to say, aha, now salvation has come and strength has come. So where were they before? Do you understand? And he's explaining, because something or someone was keeping them away. And that person is the accuser of the brethren. The one who was finding fault and criticizing and accusing all the time. His effect on the church was to take away salvation and to take away strength. Nobody does well under a critical eye. Even when someone is walking and you start to look at them, and they notice you're looking at them, they even begin to fall. Is it not true? Yeah? Someone who was walking perfectly suddenly starts to, you know. And if it is one of these ladies who wear like the 2 foot high shoes. No, like hers. Hallelujah. Then you start to trip and you start to fall. Nobody does well under a microscope. Nobody does well when there is someone close to you who's just watching your next move, you know, and always has nothing to say. When you do right, it's normal. They only talk about what you do wrong. Hallelujah. But there is no one... There is no one who is all wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is no one. And when people accuse you, the Bible says that it takes away, it says salvation was not there, and strength includes elements like self-esteem, like confidence. Do you understand? Like feelings when someone is strong. I mean, when you meet someone who is strong, you know, even the way they walk. Have you met some of these guys who, you know, you see that the guy is oozing with strength, especially if he's just coming from the gym, you know. See, I met a guy the other day, and even the way he was standing, I mean, and I was just wondering, Don't you get tired just hanging your hands like that? But it's like, yeah. You know, and he was just hanging like that. You know, it takes a lot of effort to walk like this. You tried. You see that you have to hold your hands to keep them that way. But for some people, you know. But you can tell the way people walk sometimes. You can see how they feel on the inside. They have strength. Do you understand? Strength from whatever. Strength from something they do right, you know. And sometimes when it tips over, it becomes pride. Do you understand? When you are too full of it, then it becomes pride. And people become proud. And it also shows in how they walk. In fact, the Bible even calls something a proud look. That means God can tell pride from your looks. Do you see? So you have that. But when you see, sometimes you can see a person whose strength is taken away. His strength or her strength is taken away by so many bad things they hear about themselves. Only negative things they hear about themselves. You know, Bishop used to tell the story of how when this church started, he had a front row of people who just criticized him after church. You know, after church, they would gather in one person's home and they'll start to criticize him. They'll start to talk about his preaching. There were too many jokes in the message. There were not enough jokes in the message. You know, even one interesting one was, why does he drink water when he's preaching? Who does he think he is? Do you understand? Until it got to a point where he said, when he would come to church to preach, I'm talking about this church. The beginning of this church, the beginning of something great. Do you understand? And people were killing it with their criticism. He said he would come to church, and when he holds the microphone, the whole microphone will begin to shake. You know, he said on Saturday afternoons, when he would remember that tomorrow is Sunday, I have to preach, he'll begin to have diarrhea. And he began to pray to the Lord and said, Lord, is this going to be my life? Because he had decided that he was going to be a pastor. And he couldn't imagine. How could you? So is this what goes with this profession every Saturday? But that had been made so by these people who would sit in the front who were criticizing him. Some of them were even working in the church. He said one day he had a dream. In the dream, he found himself in a boxing ring with someone, you know, and the person was sort of boxing and fighting with him in the ring, but the person had their head covered, so he couldn't see the face of the person. So the person was just fighting and fighting with him. Then at some point, he took off whatever the person had on their head, and behold, the person he was fighting with was the main singer, the person who sings before he preaches. And the Lord was showing him that these are the people who are working against you. It shouldn't be that after church, you come to church and then you gather in somebody's home over some cheap meal. See, even if the food was expensive, maybe we could understand. But you bought a bag of chips from the dollar store, $1.99 even. And you gather around your 99 cents bag of chips just to tear down the church and tear down the preacher and talk about the preacher. And as he was preaching, he was moving to the left and he was moving to the right. Who does he think he is? And I can't even stand the way he puts his hand in his pocket sometimes. You know, who does he and the way he walks sometimes. And you know, that when he was doing that thing today, I was wondering, is it me he has in mind or what? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. Listen, God knew what he was getting when he called me or any pastor for that matter. Amen. Amen. And God knows what he's doing when he starts a church. You see, you have to be very, very careful with criticism, especially in a church. Do you understand? Because a church is an assembly of failing people. is an assembly of people who are getting better. It's a place where people come to God to be worked on. Do you understand? Yeah. So in a church, more than any other place, you can expect to see people that have various kinds of situations. But that is what the love of God does. Hallelujah. That is what the love of God does. It draws all such people near to Him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he that comes to me, I will in no wise, that means under no circumstance and for no reason, cast out. God does not throw anybody away. God likes everyone. Hallelujah. God includes everyone. God has room in their hearts for everyone. Hallelujah. It is amazing. We are the ones who have a very narrow heart, a very small heart that can only accommodate people who are like us, people who think like us, people who dress like us, people who are like us. That is what we can do. Our hearts are like that. But not God. Hallelujah. Not God. It is a place where God gives people second chances. It is a place where God gives people second chances. You know, sometimes you look at people and we look down on them because of the way they are. I mean, you don't realize that sometimes the difference between you and another person is not anything you did. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? The reason why you may look down on someone. In fact, most of the strengths we have, most of the things we have going for us are not products of our effort. Do you understand? If another person had the same upbringing, if they were born where you were born, if they were raised where you were raised, if you were born where they were born, if you were raised in the family they were raised, in the environment they were raised, you'll probably be them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you'll probably be them. It is amazing how we look down on people and think we're better than them for things and differences that we did not even create. Do you understand? Yeah. Some of us are very proud of our education. Do you see? As though you sent yourself to school. You're not even aware, or you have probably forgotten how many times you didn't even want to go to school. Is there anybody here who remembers how he didn't want to go to school? I do. Raise up your hand. Let me see. Raise up your hand. Yeah. You didn't want to go to school. You faked sickness. Oh, I don't feel well at all. Only because today of all days you just wanted to sleep a little. The sleep was working today and you can't believe you have to break it for school. Hallelujah. So we need to be careful. The Bible says, who makes you differ from another? It is God who blesses us. What we are often by the grace of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What we are often by the grace of God. So we have to be careful. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 is the last verse for today. If you would just read that verse with me. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. Have you seen that verse? Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged. That means judging others is a trigger for your own judgment. Do you see what I'm saying? It says, judge not that you be not judged. Judge not so that you will not be judged. Hallelujah. So if you are being judged, or if you judge others, then you set in motion a process for your own judgment. Do you understand? And then it continues and it says, give us verse 2. Do you have it? Okay, let me just, is it there? Shegun, I'm trying not to judge you. Hallelujah. Verse 2. It says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Hallelujah. It says the same standards that you use to judge people, you will also be judged by the same standards. Hallelujah. That means if you are merciless to people, if you are not accommodating of people, if you are not understanding of people, you know, the Bible says that the same thing will happen to you. Amen. It says the same standard and the same measure means to the same extent. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you reject people, you will also experience rejection to the same extent. Hallelujah. This is what the Bible is teaching us this morning. He says, "What with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Then it says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considereth not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye?" Then he says in verse 5, "Thou hypocrite, you know, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Hallelujah. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. These are the preachings of Jesus Christ. Let's read it from the Amplified Translation, the same passage. Let's see how it sounds in the Amplified Bible. It says, "Do not judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourselves." Then it says in verse 2, "For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. And in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you." These are the words of Jesus Christ. Do you see? Now, he says, "Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye, but do not become aware of and consider the beam of timber that is in your own eye?" Wow! Then, verse 4. "Or how can you say to your brother, let me get the tiny particle out of your eye, when there is a beam of timber in your own eye? You hypocrite, first get the beam of timber out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye." Hallelujah. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I pray that all of us will cease from criticism. Amen. We will cease from criticism. There are so many ways of doing many things. Hallelujah. God is so creative. He never created one way of doing anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That is why we have so much variety in the world where anything is concerned. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So we need to be careful, you know, in the church. Maybe if you were the pastor, you would make us sit facing that way. Do you understand? You would make us sit facing that way instead of this way. Well, I'm the pastor and I'm making us sit this way. Do you see? When you become the pastor, let's turn all the chairs around and then we look the other way. There are so many ways of doing so many things. Hallelujah. But let's learn to accept what we have and work with it. We don't need people to take away our strength. Do you understand? We need people to support us and give us strength, rather. So if you see something wrong, you know, what Absalom should have been doing was helping people with exactly what he found wanting. Yeah. Do you understand? He said, nobody has been appointed. That means no department has been created to take care of this problem. Do you understand? Absalom stood at the door and said that, "I see you came with a child." "Yeah, but I don't have a children's church in this place." What Absalom was supposed to do was to start a children's church. Amen. Do you understand? Say, "I see you like to play, or you are able to play an instrument. Maybe you are a saxophonist, but they don't have a saxophone in the church." What Absalom was supposed to do was to bring a saxophone into the church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So whatever you see lacking, you know, we have some snacks and some little breakfast here when you come to church, you know, and then they say, there's no this, or whatever you see it missing, you bring it. Do you understand? If you think it's missing it, bring it. Whatever you see the church missing, you come up and bring it up. So, Pastor, I want to be the one to start something. I think it would be great if we had a group of people who do this. I think it would be great if we had a group of people who do this. Or it would be great if we did this or that. We're open to all those suggestions. Can I have an amen? So you come and lead it and come and bring it. Because we can use all the help we can get. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, we need all the help we can get. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you not to be critical of us. It says that heaven was shouting with a loud voice when the accusation stopped. Say, now we can work. Strength has come. The kingdom of our God has come. And the power of his Christ is going to be experienced. All because the person who keeps talking against us and criticizing us, the gatherings in the homes to tear down the church and the pastor and to criticize all kinds of things, all those things have stopped. So now the church can grow. Now the church can take off. Now the thing can work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do not allow anybody to draw you into any such meeting. You understand? As soon as you see it happening, you should say, this is what the pastor was talking about. You understand? Your middle name is now Absalom. You get it? You have caught a disease called Absalomia. You understand? Or your behavior is Absalomic. You get it? Or you are behaving Absalomly. That is the adverb, yes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. You are looking for faults in the church and capitalizing on them to create separation and division among us. And that is not good for the work of God. Hallelujah. So I pray that none of us would be found doing anything like that. Say amen. Amen. Say, I hear you, Pastor. Hear you. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Hallelujah. Why don't you bow your heads with me, everybody, and just let us pray for a short time before we close the service. Just bow your heads and pray. Just bow your heads and pray. Everybody, pray for yourself. Just think about yourself. Don't think about anybody else. Just think about yourself and say, Lord, I can think of times when I've let you down. I can think of times when I have said what I shouldn't be saying. I can think of times when I've been critical of your work, of pastors, of churches, of people in general. I want you to know that God does not take it kindly. God calls the church his body. And every time we criticize the church, it's like criticizing someone's body. And God does not take it lightly. God doesn't like it when someone keeps talking about his body. And I want you to pray this morning and ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to control my tongue. Help me to speak positive things. Help me to confess positively about the church, about your work, about your people, in the name of Jesus. Just pray, everyone. Just take a minute or so and just pray in the name of Jesus. Or perhaps you are here this morning and you have been discouraged because all you've ever heard are bad things about yourself. All you've ever heard are the negative things about yourself. You've never received encouragement. You've never received any positive compliments about yourself. And so you don't even believe in yourself anymore. But this morning, the Lord is here to deliver you. He's here to shake you and break you free from the spirit of the accuser, which takes away strength in the name of Jesus. Just begin to pray and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my deliverance in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Help us in the name of Jesus. Hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. The center of my joy. Sing it again. Tell the Lord he's the center of your joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Oh, that's good and perfect. The center of my joy. Lift up your hands one last time and sing it to the Lord and say, Jesus, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord. And thank you for correcting us. Thank you for opening our eyes to the truth about accusations, about criticisms, in the name of Jesus. Deliver this church from a critical spirit. Deliver this church from fault finders. Deliver this church from people whose talkings and whose criticisms threaten to kill it, in the name of Jesus. I pray that your blessing will rest upon us today, in the name of Jesus. Why don't we all say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my heart, I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord. Forgive my sins, Lord. And cleanse me from unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. I want to live for you. I want to be a true Christian. Help me to serve you, Jesus. Help me not to criticize your church. Help me not to judge your people. Say, help me not to judge your people. Help me, Lord, to say positive things with my mouth, things that build up people, things that build up the church, instead of things that tear down, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you blessed this morning? Did you learn something this morning? You're the heart.